The US Open on In Play Radio.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the latest edition of the US Open Tennis Podcast with Dave Kellner in the studio and Sky Sports commentator Nick Lester on the line as we get set for the semi-finals at Flushing Meadows, the two women's semi-finals later on today, and Richard Gasquet, Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic versus Stanislas Wawrinka on Saturday afternoon and evening. Andy Murray is out, but the tournament doesn't stop there. First of all, let me welcome Nick Lester onto the line. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm a little bit upset, a little bit dejected after Andy Murray's loss in straight sets to Stan Wawrinka yesterday evening. Time's a great healer. I'm sure I'll get through it, Nick.
Well, I must just say, first of all, the thing I want to say is that the best thing I've ever read about this whole performance from yesterday was from Simon Barnes today, and he said it was like trying to recover from the biggest binge in history, and it's the longest hangover. And he said it doesn't matter because you will get over it eventually. So I thought that summed it up pretty well, actually.
It wasn't the loss that disappointed me, Nick. It was the manner of the defeat.
No, I don't disagree with you, and I think a lot of observers felt that it was Murray a little bit of old, wasn't it, with the negative play, the negative body language, and didn't really at any point feel as though he was sort of able to hurt Wawrinka from the back of the court. And you have to say, you've got to hand it to Wawrinka. I mean, he has matured incredibly, I think, in the last year. His game has got better. We did think this could be a difficult test for Murray. And some of the winners that this guy can create from the baseline are phenomenal. And I actually thought one of the factors as well that was impressive for me yesterday was just how well he was coming forwards. You know, he was taking his chance when he could. He was coming in. He was putting off some nice volleys when the opportunities presented themselves. And that was an impressive win. I think from Murray's perspective, you know, we can all analyse it. I don't think he's played particularly well, Dave. As I said to you, since Wimbledon, I really don't think he's played great. I think in the two warm-up events, he was patchy. And I just think this is going to be one of those things that is going to take a little bit of time to digest. And, you know, I was thinking about this last night. I don't think, Dave, personally, there's any sportsman or woman on the planet right now who can relate in many ways and who can sympathise or empathise with what Murray achieved. You know, the monkey off the back, the 77 years, the amount of pressure the guy was under during that final at Wimbledon, and the way he was able to come through there. I can't think of any other sportsman on the planet right now who had to endure that and first of all had to come through that, and that I think clearly I always thought would take a bit of time just to recover from, and that's definitely been the case.
Yeah, that's something you mentioned in the pre-tournament podcast, the fact that Andy Murray might have that hangover from Wimbledon. One statistic that really stood out to me and astounded me in many ways is the stat that this is the first time since his loss in the 2008 Wimbledon Championships to Rafael Nadal that Murray had no break point, not one break point opportunity against Stan Wawrinka, which is incredible and testament to his consistency over the last 5 years.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. He's the best returner in the game, isn't he, along with Novak Djokovic, Dave? So that is going to be a somewhat surprising statistic. Again, I think you have to credit Stan back. Serve well, you know, he didn't wait for his opportunity, did he, in rally? I mean, if you look back through the match as a whole, for the most part, he was a defensive player. He was the one that was trying to look to make it happen, and he did. He hit his spot well, and, you know, I do think you have to give Magnus Norman a lot of credit. I'm someone that I believe the coaches are generally overrated at the highest level of this sport, but I do think it's clicked well. Magnus Norman has a fantastic record with him coaching Robin Söderling. That's how he brought Söderling on. If you forget how well Söderling did under Magnus Norman, they went from basically a top 20 player to a top 4 player. Norman was known as an incredible workhorse, a guy that would just do anything, so disciplined. He understood the game, tactically, he understood it as well. And I definitely think he brought that to and Wawrinka. I mean, I think as well, Peter Lundgren obviously was a man that Wawrinka worked with a couple of years ago, at a time when it wasn't right for him. You know, he struggled with Lundgren. Lundgren was quite a sort of maverick sort of character, and a man that sort of tried to push, I think, Wawrinka out of his shell. Magnus Norman is a calm Swede, and I think Wawrinka is very much of a calm personality. He's quite a quiet guy. He doesn't really court controversy. He's a very kind of understated personality. And I think, as I said, the Norman-Wawrinka relationships work well. Obviously, the results he had with Söderling were great. And it's obviously working. He's getting the most out of Wawrinka's game, and that is ultimately what you can ask of a coach.
So Andy Murray out, and Stan Wawrinka goes through into the semi-finals to face Novak Djokovic. We'll talk about those two men's semi-finals in a few moments' time, but let's start with the women's. And Flavia Panetta takes on Victoria Azarenka in the first semi-final, scheduled for around about 6:45 this evening. Flavia Panetta in the betting at 100-30, and Victoria Azarenka is a 2-9 shot. Azarenka came through in straight sets against Daniela Hantikova, winning 6-2, 6-3. And as you predicted, Nick, Flavia Panetta too strong for her Italian compatriot, beating Roberta Vinci 6-4, 6-1. These two have only played each other twice on tour before. Flavia Panetta, a winner in Dubai back in 2011, and Victoria Azarenka beating Panetta on clay court in their first meeting in Stuttgart in 2010. They were scheduled to play at Wimbledon this year, but Flavia Panetta gained a walkover win against Victoria Azarenka. This might be a little bit tighter than the betting suggests, Nick.
I don't disagree with you. Yeah, I do think this is a possibility. Panetta obviously is a very, very experienced player. You know, a year ago she was sitting at home in Italy, and there wasn't even some possibilities she wouldn't play again. She had a career-threatening wrist injury that was kept her on the sidelines for a good while. She has had a lot of injuries, so her ranking of 83 in many ways is a bit of a joke as to where she is. But, you know, she's played very well this year. She's yet to drop a set, Dave. And, you know, that's testament. She's had some good wins. You look back at the wins she's had. She's beaten Kuznetsova. She's beaten Simona Halep, who's probably one of the players of 2013, as I said the other day. And I think the win against her compatriot Vinci in the last round, you know, I expected it partly because I think Vinci has a way of really sort of cutting you up as a player. She's an unusual style. She brings the slice. But Panetta has known Vinci a long time. She knows what she's going to bring to the table, and I thought she played well. I have to say, I thought Azarenka was excellent against Hantikova. For me, you know, she has a real knack, as Azarenka, on a hard court, of seemingly peaking towards the second week of majors. And that's been the case. I mean, you look at her form this week. She beat Ivanovic, obviously, in three sets. She was given a really tough test by Elise Cornet as well. But I thought against Hantikova, she was excellent. And, you know, not too dissimilar players, Panetta and Hantikova, really. Both strike the ball well. They move well, both of them. Don't have anything that's huge from the back of the court like Azarenka does. And I just think that could be the difference here. I think the weapons that Azarenka has from the back of the court will probably just see her through this one. But I would agree. I think I wouldn't write Flavia Panetta off. I don't think she's going to be completely overawed in this one. She's experienced at 31 years of age. You know, it's a first Grand Slam semi-final, but she's played so many big matches. I mean, she's played Fed Cup finals. She's played deep in majors as well. So, you know, I think you have to go with Azarenka on her form over the year and her hardcore capabilities. And I think she should be able to dominate Panetta enough from the back of the court to see it through. So I'd probably stick with Azarenka, and I'd probably have to go with a couple of close sets if I was to lay down my money.
Azarenka to win two sets to love is 4-7. If you're looking at handicap betting, Flavia Panetta plus 5.5 games. If you do fancy two tight sets and you want to side with the Italian, that's in the betting at 8-13. Over 19.5 games is in the betting at 4-5 as well. So plenty of ways to get involved on the William Hill website. Go to sports.williamhill.com, click on tennis, and you'll see the matches for the semi-finals appear on that screen. What do you think Panetta has to do to try and counteract Azarenka's power? Because this is a player with extreme power from the back of the court, and something that Panetta's not faced so far in this event.
No, I mean, I think we'll see her use the slice backhand a little bit. She's very capable of changing the pace of the ball, which is quite unusual in today's day and age. But again, for being a veteran, really, for her, she knows how to change the pace. She can mix it up. As you say, it is a different matchup from the one she's faced already, and that is the slight fear. I think if Azarenka, again, you know, let's be honest, the nuts and bolts of Azarenka's game are pretty simple. It's first strike tennis. She'll be looking to get her opponent on the move as much as she can, and if she can serve well, especially use the out wide serve on the juice side to push Panetta away, then I think she's going to be in business. Flavia Panetta's serve is good serve, but it's not a dominating serve. She can't get on the front foot always with her serve. So, again, I think you'll look for Azarenka to really dictate off the second serve as well as Panetta's. I envisage a scoreline here, perhaps something along the lines of maybe 6-4, 6-3, something like that. I think that would be where, if you had to ask me where my money would be going, I think that's the sort of scoreline we're looking at this match. I don't think Panetta personally will get a set. I think Azarenka will be too strong, but I do think it'll be two relatively close sets.
The second semi-final is Serena Williams versus Lina. This is the semi-final we discussed on a previous podcast. We'll just recap your thoughts on this one, Nick. Serena is in the betting at 1-8 now. Lina is 5-1.
Well, I just think there's massive value in Lina, Dave. I really do. I mean, you know, as you say, the head-to-head's 8-1. But if you look at the two matches they've played this year on hard courts, Lina has had a set point in both occasions. That is how close she's got to Serena Williams this year. So I just think 5-1 is a huge price, personally. You know, under Carlos Rodriguez, as we said the other day, she's made big improvements. And it was interesting to hear Carlos talk yesterday about how negative when Lina was when they first worked together. And that's something he's tried to improve on. You know, a real pressure situation. He's tried to make her more positive. He has definitely changed her game as well. She's coming forwards a lot more. She dominates from the back of the court. You know, if you have Williams and Azarenka as the top two power hitters, Lina is just behind those two in third. So she's someone that can definitely live with Serena Williams, Dave. I think as a baseline game, in terms of her ground strokes, they are almost, if not equally as polished as Serena Williams. Her backhand down the line is tremendous. Look for Lina's backhand. That is, for me, her best shot. And I think she's now looking to build on those baseline, those big groundies. And that is something Rodriguez has brought her. She has been working like tremendously hard, I can tell you. Again, everything I heard in New York about the time they spent in Beijing working together over there has been huge. You know, she has put in a lot of work for this. I thought she's been outstanding at this tournament, Dave. We referenced the Laura Robson match that we both saw. Excellent performance there. Took it away from Robson. And I really do think this is going to be close. I genuinely do. I think Lina feels and believes she can beat Serena Williams. So I think 5-1 is a huge price on Lina here. And I think if you're looking for value, you know, you could well go and stick a fiver or a tenner on Lina. I'm going to go the distance. I think this will go three sets. I think this will go to three. I'm going to stick with Serena because I think, you know, that she's having the best season of her life. But I'm very, very tempted by the price that the Chinese lady is right now.
Yeah, Serena Williams to win 2-1 is 7-2. If you fancy just three sets in the match, that's in the betting at 13-5. And you can play as well Lina on the handicap betting, plus 5.5 games, which looks very attractive, which is in the betting at 5-6. If you fancy a shorter price there, Lina on the handicap, plus 5.5 games at 5-6. We move on to the men's side of the event, and we'll start off with Richard Gasquet versus Rafael Nadal in the first semi-final. Richard Gasquet 9-1, Rafael Nadal in the betting at 1-20. Gasquet came through in five sets against David Ferrer, winning 6-3 in the fifth. Rafael Nadal, as you predicted, we talked about this the other day, this matchup with Tommy Robredo and how it would suit Rafael Nadal. It was a demolition job, really. Won in straight sets, 6-love, 6-2, 6-2 against Robredo in his quarterfinal match. And before we talk about the matchup and how it's overwhelmingly in the favour of Rafael Nadal, just a word on Gasquet's performance against Ferrer. To relinquish a 2-set-to-love lead and look dead and buried and to produce the tennis he did in the fifth, it was testament to his resilience, which has been missing in the past, Nick.
I was going to say, they're words that haven't often been spoken about Gasquet over the years, aren't they? I mean, someone who has been very fragile, I think not always been had the heart for the battle. And yet, perhaps, as you say, sometimes it just clicks, and maybe at 26, 27, maybe he's going to have perhaps the best 2 or 3 years of his career. I certainly hope so, because he's a joy to watch, isn't he? You know, that single-handed backhand that he has. And the first two sets he played against Ferrer were just outstanding tennis. I mean, the way he took it to Ferrer, the way he was able to dominate from the baseline, you know, I did think Freire, you know, given the head-to-head that those two had had, would be able to get the better of him. And I have to say, going into the fifth, you would have got very long odds on Gasquet coming back to win. But testament to him. And again, you know, something we reference with people behind you. Maybe now he has good people behind him. Sebastian Grosjean, he has Riccardo Piatti, very, very good people who perhaps are just continuing to chip away at him to say the right things. And, you know, in this sport, Davis, so often it's only a case of being 1% difference. It might just be something that he's believing in himself a bit more nowadays. Clearly getting over the hurdle of beating Rynich in the round of 16 was a big one because, as we know, his round of 16 record was absolutely appalling. And it was a fantastic win to beat Ferrer in five. You know, Ferrer's five-set record, if you look at it, is outstanding. So that testament to Gasquet, again, big ask against Nadal, obviously, a very, very big ask. I think Nadal's played, for me, the best tennis of anyone so far in this tournament. And my only fear in this match is that Gasquet does like to stay some way behind the baseline. And we know he can rip it. We know he can hit winners from any part of the court. But Nadal's a different animal from Ferrer. Again, they're a very similar animal, but Nadal is a much more, you know, aggressive one in terms of, you know, he can dominate. And I don't know. I'd really like to make a case for Gasquet in this match, and I've seen a lot that you could make a case for him, but I struggle. I really do. I think of the matchups. I think of the way this match is going to pan out. And again, something I talked about with Nadal's serve the other day, how well he's been serving, making a lot of first serves. He's going to slice the first serve out to Gasquet's back end, who does chip the return. If he chips the return, he's in trouble because he's going to be on the back foot. And that is the problem. You are so quickly on the back foot these days against Nadal this year. As we've seen on hard courts, he has not been willing to rally with you. He has been the aggressor. And I fear for Gasquet, who does initially like to start sometimes a little bit far back in the court. If he does that, I just think Nadal's going to hurt him too often. And the 10-0 record is significant, you know. Again, it wasn't against Ferrer, but I feel it will be more here. The results they played on hard courts, US Open, I read you, 2009, 2-2-3 for Nadal, 2-2-4. These are the sorts of performances, you know. He's not even getting close, Gasquet. For me, I can see a 3-set-to-love victory for Nadal here, Dave. I really can. He has just looked imperious this tournament. I think he's playing the best tennis he's ever played in his life. And I think Gasquet may well go out in the semis.
Yeah, Rafael Nadal 1-20 to win the match. Richard Gasquet in the betting at 9-1. The handicap betting, Richard Gasquet plus 8.5 games, 11-10. Rafael Nadal minus 8.5 games at 4-6. You talked about a Rafael Nadal straight sets win, 3-love at 4-11?
I think so, I really do. I've seen nothing in this tournament so far that would suggest otherwise. As well as Gasquet played in the first couple of sets against Ferrer, again, you look at sets 3 and 4 where he was a little bit disappointing. And you know, again, we talk about Ferrer and Nadal and the matchups. Two similar players, two guys who like to dictate with the forehand, can hit the backhand well, but Nadal does everything 20%, 15, 20% better. Than Ferrer does. He hits the ball heavier, harder. Gasquet is going to find himself on the back foot. He's going to have to rip some, you know, he's going to have to look to hit some big winners early on. And he may well do that, Dave. He may well do that. But again, I think over 5 sets, that's a very, very big ask. And I've said Nadal-Djokovic final at the start of the tournament, and I'm not going away from that.
It's becoming even more one-sided, this head-to-head as well. Early on in Gasquet and Nadal's career, Gasquet was able to get involved against Nadal and win sets, but more recently, Nadal's been obliterating Gasquet. Admittedly, the last three meetings between the two have been on clay court, but the last time they met on a hard court was at the US Open back in 2009, where Nadal beat him 2-2-3. Rafael Nadal, he could even cover that handicap, minus 8.5 games at 4-6.
Yeah, as you said, I mean, Gasquet's won 3 sets. In their 10 meetings now. I don't know, you add up the sets Nadal's won, it's something like 28 or something.
Yes.
So it's 28-3 in sets. So that doesn't give you a lot of hope, does it? And you just feel Gasquet may have just reached his peak, I think, here in reaching the semi-finals. He's had a great couple of weeks, and I hope he kicks on from here. But for me, I think Rafa's been so dominant. He's been so unwilling to let players dictate him. And I think that'll be the case again.
Is there anything that Gasquet can do to negate Nadal's one aggression and consistency? Does he have to change his game to even match up against Rafael Nadal?
Can he? I mean, that's the question,
yeah.
Isn't it? Can he change his game? I don't think, you know, I'm not sure he can. Is he going to suddenly start coming forward? No. I mean, we saw him against Ferrer obviously hit winners from parts of the court, and pretty much no one else can do it. But I mean, this guy can really. But again, you have to say to yourself, even if he does start hitting his spots, Nadal defends so well that I think that is obviously a problem for him as well. Nadal's able to get so many balls back in play and make it so difficult for players that I think even if Gasquet does play three or four games lights out tennis, he's still not guaranteed to be 3-love. You know, that's the issue he has. And I think, you know, Rafa will stay with him and will try and dominate from the back of the court as much as he can. And Gasquet does have a tendency, as I said to you, to defend and to put the ball a little bit short at times. And if he does that, it's curtains. Because Nadal, once you get behind in a rally with Nadal, you can't recover.
The other men's semi-final should be more competitive. Novak Djokovic 2-9 against Stanislas Wawrinka, who is in the betting at 3-1. I say should be more competitive because, again, this is a matchup that hasn't suited Stan Wawrinka in the past. He's lost their last 10 meetings and he's not won that many sets against Djokovic either. However, their most recent meeting at the Australian Open saw Stan Wawrinka play some of his best tennis ever in his career. Won that first set 6-1 before Djokovic eventually prevailed 12-10 in the fifth and went on to win the championship. This has all the hallmarks of a classic if Stan Wawrinka can reproduce the form he showed against Murray in the quarterfinal and reproduce the form he showed against Djokovic in that Australian Open performance.
Well, I mean, it should just be, first of all, we should mention that he was 6-1 and 5-2, Dave, up against Djokovic at the Australian Open in that round of 16 match. So if you ever sort of were questioning how well Stan's been playing this year, that gives you an idea. I mean, to be 6-1, 5-2 up against Djokovic on a hard court, no one has done that, Dave. No one's done that this year. So, again, that's how well the rink has been playing over the course of the last 12 months. He clearly set his stall out pretty early in January. You mentioned the head-to-head, 12-2. I wouldn't actually read a great deal into that, to be honest. I think he's a different player now, Wawrinka. I really do. I think the way he's attacking the ball, I think, almost negates that head-to-head in many ways. And Djokovic will know that. Djokovic will have seen the way Wawrinka's been playing this year. Clearly, he's had a taste of it already. I think the difference between the Murray match, and this perhaps is something that Djokovic will talk to his team about, he's got a brand new coach on board here this week, is the way Murray was just too passive yesterday, and he allowed Wawrinka to dictate. And I think this is something that usually talked about last night. You know, if you look at the matchup yesterday in the third set, if you watch that third set, Djokovic just went into his shell a little bit. He just started to play. He started to push the ball into the court and usually dominated. And I don't think that is going to happen. I think Djokovic knows in this match that he's going to have to go back to those attacking instincts that we saw from him last year and the year before when he was playing his best tennis in 11 and 12. He was hitting the forehand hard. You know, he wasn't allowing players to dominate him, whereas before, obviously, he was relying a lot more on his defensive game. So I think Djokovic, in many ways, he's going to benefit, you feel, from the Murray loss yesterday. Not only in the fact he's not playing Murray, but also in the fact he will have seen and he will be aware of what Wawrinka is going to bring to the table. Funny kind of way, it could go a similar way to the semi-final at Wimbledon here, possibly. You know, in that battle they had with Del Potro, that kind of war they had, because Wawrinka is peaking. Or for me, in a similar way to Del Potro was, I think... this has got the makings of a bit of distance. I really do. I think Wawrinka, I don't think Wawrinka's done here. I genuinely don't. I think those in the game, and there are a few people that know how well Stan can play and have been waiting for this emergence. I think there could be some legs in this match. I definitely don't think it'll be straight sets, personally. I think Djokovic will emerge. I do. I think he'll come through in the end. Perhaps four for me. Four sets would be where my money goes. I think Wawrinka's playing well enough to take a set at least off Djokovic, but I think Djokovic for me will prevail in the end. All round, I think it will help him, the fact he's seen what Wawrinka's done in the last couple of weeks, and I think they'll be ready. He's going to be ready for this match. He's had a few disappointments this year, Djokovic, notably the French Open semi-final, the Wimbledon semi-final. I think he wants to make amends here, and I don't think he'll let this one slip.
Novak Djokovic to win 3-1 is in the betting at 5-2. You referenced the fact that Novak Djokovic has brought a new coach on board for these 2 weeks at Flushing Meadows for the US Open. Were you surprised by that decision? I know he had slight disappointments at Wimbledon and at the French, but he's had an exceptional couple of years, Novak Djokovic.
A little bit. I mean, obviously, each player's trying to find the extra, 1%. I think the losses he's had this year, clearly at the French and at Wimbledon, as I say, those semi-final losses hurt. I think, the French was the number one goal for him this year. That didn't happen. Wimbledon, I think, was definitely that final defeat to Murray, obviously, was painful. And I think he's probably just looking for a little bit more. They're always looking to eke a little bit more out of his game. And that's one thing that Djokovic has never been afraid to do. He's always been afraid, always been a guy, if you follow his career and study his career as a junior and as a coming up, this is a guy that it was only going to be about number one. Unless he was number one, it was nothing. And clearly he's still there. So I think, and I just wonder perhaps if the Lendl factor with Murray played a part in that as well. Maybe he saw obviously what Lendl brought to the table, a guy he's watched yet to be back is with him now. And obviously those two were pretty much sparring partners back in the day. So perhaps that's a factor as well. He has had a history of bringing people on board that haven't worked, though. When you think, Mark Woodford was brought on board a few years ago, that didn't happen. Todd Martin as well. So, I think any little extra that's going to help him is good. And feedback's been brought on from a tactical perspective, as I understand it. He wants to, he feels that he can add to his game tactically. It's not a lot of difference, really. It's a very minor thing that's going to make up. But I just think he will be... He'll be ready for Wawrinka. He'll know, and the way he's played, and they'll devise a game plan to perhaps negate what the Swiss man's been able to play so well.
Let me just spin you through some markets in this Djokovic match. We've talked about the outright Djokovic 2-9, Wawrinka 3-1. Taking what you've said, some possible bets here over 37.5 games in the match is 4-5. And one that you probably really like, the match result and both players to win a set, which is down at the bottom of the list. Novak Djokovic to win the match, both players to win a set, 13-10.
Excellent, that is. Yeah, excellent. I mean, you've got to think over the course of 2.5 hours that the way Wawrinka is playing, if he doesn't take a set, I'd be surprised.
Nick, thank you. It's been a pleasure speaking to you this morning. Enjoy the semi-finals, and we'll catch up ahead of the finals. Is the women's on the Sunday, the men's on the Monday?
Exactly, yeah. So the issue they have is if it rains on Monday,
yes.
Djokovic, they've got Davis Cup on Thursday. Djokovic has got to be in Serbia on Thursday. So and Murray obviously is out of there now. He'll go to Croatia. But, Davis Cup comes pretty hot on the heels. So there's not a lot of time to get to where they need to be for these guys.
And has Murray confirmed that he will play in the Davis Cup?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a busy schedule. He goes there, Bangkok, Tokyo, Shanghai. He's playing 3 straight weeks in Asia. So he's playing more tennis in the autumn than any of the big four, which is a little bit of a surprise, I have to say. And I just wonder if he might tinker with the schedule possibly.
Yeah, why would he make that decision to play?
There'll be some pretty big appearances,
yes.
Certainly in Bangkok and Tokyo. He's probably looking upwards of half a million for each event there. So strange. It is a little bit strange, I have to say. And I just wonder if he might just possibly decide to look at that. But Shanghai is obviously the next really big one after the US Open, which is middle of October.
And do you expect Murray to come back stronger than ever next season?
Next season. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure where he'll go for the rest of the year. I just think, as I say, I said to you 2 weeks ago, I think to digest what he achieved is going to take a while, and he needs a bit of time, I think, just to get it back. Maybe I think possibly the World Tour Finals in London could well be the trigger for him.
Yeah.
That could well be the spark again. Home crowd, massive support he'll receive there. And, he's never won that event. So that could be a big one for him, Dave. And I think maybe that could provide a springboard towards Australia in January.
Superb, Nick. We'll speak soon.
Cheers, Dave.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.